And we're going to be in Proverbs and chapter 16. We're talking about why we have a bright future and why we're optimistic. We've kind of wandered everywhere in this thing, from heaven to rewards to sowing and reaping. And today we're going to be talking about one that surprised you a little bit, because one that your mind will think is wrong. This is something where as a matter of fact, we'll hit on this, not this subject, but on the reason our minds think wrong. And our minds think wrong in this subject because one of the things you have a bright future is because you get to be older and wiser. Proverbs 16, and that was a lot of amens for that one. And verse 31, it says, "Though a hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness." The hoary head, that means the gray hair, is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, in verse 29. "The glory of young men is their strength. The beauty of old men is the gray head." So that God thinks of things differently than most men. And most humans, most people. You know how hard people work not to have gray hair? That's a whole industry there, to keep your hair from being gray. But the Bible says it's a crown of glory. And it's a good thing. And if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, you can make your hair turn gray real young if you do wicked things. But it says if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, we don't think of that. We in our culture glorify youth. But the Bible says, being old is a crown of glory. And I just want to have a word of prayer. We'll talk about it. You have a bright future because you can get older and wiser. Father, thank you for the chance to study your word. And Lord, help us to renew our minds and fix our thinking on this subject and to see things the way you see them. And I pray that you'd help us during this time and give us the mind of Christ and wisdom in this area. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, well, in this subject, we have it totally backwards. And when you look or talk, luckily my wife taught me this. My wife was very good at this, and she's always loved the elderly, and she helped me with this subject a lot with just being around her. I don't think she sat down and taught me this lesson, but the wisdom of old people and being around them. So I hung around the elderly, and I had an elderly pastor who was born during the Great Depression. I spent a good amount of time while I could with the Great Depression people, the people who grew up in the 20s, fought in World War II, that generation. They grew up so much differently. They were a link between America when it was pure and clean, and also a totally rural, old family-based culture, and then what we have now. So I got to see a big contrast because of spending a lot of time with those people and see that and understand. If you are a person who was around elderly people, or if you're older, over about 50, you understand that older people used to be looked up to, respected, and treated with dignity and respect. That is gone, we know that. And people used to go to the old people. I will get me the ancient ones, Jeremiah says. And you go there because they've gained wisdom and learned things and know things you might not know. In every generation, the older people would hand the younger people priorities, how to live, how to handle your finances, everything. This is the way I grew up, and this is the way what we believe, and this is the way you live, and this is the way you handle your money, and this is the way you raise your kids, and it was taught from generation to generation, and really you would sit down and listen to your grandparents, and they would talk, and you would listen, and that was a good thing because they had a lot of wisdom. Things changed in the 60s. For the first time ever, what happened is the older generation handed the younger generation because they lived long enough to know what's wise to do. Now, if I taught this the class on the other side of the wall there, now we have pretty good kids, but I taught that, they would think, oh, old people, they don't know how to live. They don't know anything. Now, you were a young person once, and you know how to live now. You didn't lose your brain cells. You don't lose youth brain cells and then switch them for old brain cells. If you're smart, you get both, okay? You understand what it's like to be young. I still understand. I'm still young. But I still understand what it's like to be a teenager and think about it, because I deal with teenagers, and I don't want to lose that, but I don't think like a teenager. Teenagers are dumb. They're dumb. I don't think like them. There's no way I'm going to think. They don't know a lot. And by the way, if you still think like a teenager and you're over 19, You need to learn. You got to gain wisdom. And so what happened is the older generation handed the younger generation. Older generation, younger generation. 60s changed everything. The baby boomers were, their parents didn't do a good job, and the baby boomers were a very foolish generation. As a matter of fact, the only generation ever in the history of America where you had a generation where the kids turned out better than them. My generation, the children of the baby boomers, turned out better than the baby boomers. They divorced less. They're better with their finances. They're better with their health. They're better in every way because they saw how foolish their parents were. Baby boomers were just a disaster of a generation. But what happened in that generation was the youth grew up and took control, and the older people said, what are we supposed to be like? And they'd ask people who didn't have the wisdom to teach them what they're supposed to be like. See, a 15-year-old doesn't have the wisdom to tell me what my style should be. They put holes in their faces and wear old jeans that are torn up and pay for them. They don't have the wisdom to teach me how to live. I'm not looking for a 19-year-old entertainer who's the hit pop guy and have him teach me how to talk, dress, think, listen to his music. I'm a little smarter than that. Okay? I'll meet him in jail and straighten him out. Okay? But I'm not going to go to him. And all of a sudden, the older generation looked at the younger generation, younger generation looked to each other, and ever since, all the advertising's geared at 18 to 24 because they know everything, and they're the ones that teach us. And if the 18 to 24 thinks it's a cool gadget, then we all ought to get it. If the 18 to 24 are buying that stuff, then we ought to buy it. And if they're using the credit cards to buy it and they don't have money, then that's what's cool. We better do that too. And the entire generation has followed youth, and now we just laugh at the way old people drive. That's the only influence they have. And biblically, the Bible says they have a crown of glory because they've grown and learned, and they're wiser than us. And older people, you're all nodding your head who are not older, but not a teenager anymore, we'll say. And you're saying, yeah, you're right. You know what? I thought I was so smart when I was 18 and 21. I had the whole world by the horns. I didn't realize it was taking me into the wall. And I didn't know a whole bunch. Now, boy, was I ever foolish. And many of us ruined our lives because we made all our decisions guided by teenage mindset and youth thinking and made our decisions. And now in our old age, in our middle ages, we have to make up for our mistakes we made then. Okay? Once you get secure enough that you don't have to say, are the teenagers going to think I'm cool, and you're not a 50-year-old lady trying to wear a miniskirt and trying to look young again. Okay, honey? You look a lot prettier if you'll dress like a 50-year-old. Okay? And guy, if you'll get rid of your, quit buttoning your shirt down here and buying a Corvette for a girl lure and get rid of your Mr. T thing at 50, your necklaces at 50, and try to look like you're 17 again. You're not 17. People laugh at you. Okay? Look like a dignified adult. Because there's nothing wrong with age. You're wiser. You're smarter. You hopefully got a brain in there somewhere and you learned something. Instead of going around and acting foolishly like a teenager and going around and acting more like a teenager and having relationships like a teenager, you should be in a deep, profound relationship by now. You ought to be handling your finances. Did you know the people who were dying in their 70s and 80s, they went through the depression, they knew how to handle money. Did you know when the people who are dying now that die early in their 50s and 60s, you know when they're dying, their kids aren't getting an inheritance. They're saying, am I going to have to pay off their debt? Look up what a reverse mortgage is sometime. Okay? That's what the big fat is for that age now, so you can spend it all. And you know what? Because they haven't even learned how to handle finances yet because they're still young and they haven't gained that wisdom. If you're 30 and you haven't figured out how to stay out of debt yet and how to handle your money and how to not go into debt and how to cut up a credit card if you can't handle it and how to, you know, you earn the money, then you buy it. Okay. If you haven't figured that out yet, you're still a youth. But I digress. Age is a good thing. Age is a wonderful thing. We laugh at it. We laugh at age. We make fun of it, and it's funny. I don't like aches and pains. I would love to have a hoary head, a gray head someday. I think I'm just gonna have a wrinkled one. By the time I get that age, I don't know. A hoary head, a gray head is a crown of glory, and age is a good thing. We lose our hair. We get a little older. Our body shapes change. We get aches and pains. I read somewhere that if it doesn't hurt anymore, it doesn't work anymore. And a whole bunch of things we happen. Age is simply a case of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. My stockbroker told me that if I invest in this, it'll triple in 1 year. I was so old that I don't even buy green bananas. And at my age, everything reminds me of something else. You know you're old when your candles cost more than your cake. To me, old age is always 15 years older than I am. That's how I feel. Age is a high price to pay for maturity. If you get past 100, you have it made. Very few people die after that age. By the time you're 80, you have learned everything. You only have to remember it. There is still no cure for the common birthday. And we make a lot of jokes and laugh about it, but you know, age is not bad. Some people now have the opportunity, if they are 20 or 30 and they have any wisdom, they have a young body and an old mind in our culture. You should be smart. I'll say this. You should be smarter in this generation who's raised on TV and internet, who you're wise enough to read the book of Proverbs and look around. The Bible says wisdom cries in the streets and shouts in the gate tops. You're wise enough to look around. You read the Bible. You should be 25 years ahead in wisdom. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I'm wise, but I don't think anybody in my culture, I don't look at a 60-year-old as wiser than me. Most 60-year-olds aren't wiser than I am. Most 50-year-olds aren't. I'll regularly try to straighten out 50 and 60-year-olds in every area. Marriage, finances, you name it. Drugs, you name it. Why? Because we don't have wisdom. Wisdom is a principal thing. And I'm not wise. It's like the toughest guy among the kindergartners. I mean, you know, yeah, I can beat up every kindergartner at a school. That doesn't make me tough. It's because I'm more wise in our culture. It doesn't mean much. We don't have a very wise culture. And they don't do those things. There's a lot of blessings to getting older, the Bible says. We'll look at a few verses in Proverbs here. Proverbs 17 in verse 6. One blessing of getting older is grandchildren. Grandchildren. The Bible says that. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. That's not true in our culture, but that's true in most cultures. Children should brag and remember the old, my dad can beat up your dad. And that was good. Doesn't mean your dad went and fought everybody's dad, but you thought your dad was awesome. And only my kids can say that without lying. We know that children, they used to. How many of you? And there's no right or wrong answer on this. This is interesting. How many of you, your parents were your heroes? Okay, raise your hand up higher. That's not half the people in here. Okay, that's not half the people in here. And those you didn't raise your hand, that isn't something you did wrong. Your parents. I mean, how many of your parents were in a lot of trouble? Raise your hand. Okay, you see that. So you're not going to be saying my mom is the. No, you're going to say my mom has been on probation more times than your mom. I mean, that's not something that's going to be, you know, something you brag on. So, but the first part of the verse here it says children's children are the crown of old men. Children's children. In other words, well, biblically, and I'm not done this lesson right now, but biblically you're responsible for two generations. I'm not only responsible for my children, I'm responsible for my children's children because I've got to raise my children to raise my grandchildren. Okay? Biblically, that's my responsibility. Bible, as a matter of fact, financially, I am too. Bible says a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. So I am raising my children to raise my grandchildren. And so biblically, I had kids and I taught them. And I have seven kids right now. I taught them, here's how you raise your kids. Here's how you're a parent. Here's how you handle kids. And then they come along and they have the wisdom. And how many of you had no idea what you're doing when you had your kids? Okay. And by the way, I was not raised. Fortunately, By the time I was about 18, I started a very intense seek to gain knowledge how to raise kids. So I wasn't dead ignorant, but I didn't get raised, so that's hard to catch up for. So I was pretty ignorant. And the first one is a poor kids. The first one always they're the test ones. And then you say that didn't work, and then you're in trouble. And so I train my kids. My kids now raise my grandkids well. And so when I see my grandkids, I say, wow, what a great bunch of kids. See, some grandkids aren't the glory of their grandparents. But biblically, if you do it right and if you handle it right, it is very true. We have that in our family with the grandparents' side. They love when our family comes. The problem is they have to invite the rest of the siblings and their kids. And they rip the place up, be honest with you. They rip it up. Grandparents' house are not children-proof. And if you got a kid who won't say stop when you say stop and starts breaking things, it's not fun. And so they're your glory. So if you have great grandkids, you're going to love them. You're going to think being old is awesome because you know what? They're incredible, and I get to send them home, and you'll love them, and because it's great, because you get to see a whole generation growing up because you did something right. It's your crown. It's good to grow old because you get grandkids, and grandkids are a blessing from God, and God's blessings are upon them because of you. Look at Psalms chapter 103. Hoping by the time you get this message done, we'll at least get one amen that growing old and getting wise is good. Psalms 103 and verse 17. It says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. His righteousness unto children's children. So, I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure about this. The only one in this room who is blessed as a grandchild is Jess. Is his grandpa got saved as a teenager and is a very godly man, and all the grandchildren were impacted by the grandfather. Anybody else in here? You had an incredibly godly grandparent, and you are blessed in your life, and all of your siblings are blessed and serving God because of it. Now, they're blessed because the blessings of God were his grandpa was a great man of God. Pastor for many years and a great man of God. And so they have all been blessed and godly, and his brother's a missionary and other things. Why? Because of their grandpa. And so it can be passed down. It says God's blessing is on the grandpa, so their children's children are blessed. That's a blessing there. And so it's the righteousness under the children's children. And so it's a good thing. And you see that blessing. Next, what is good about becoming older? You become a leader. You become a leader. And Titus and chapter 2, and you become a leader. You should become a leader. Titus chapter 2 and verse 2. At the aged men, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. At the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things. Aged women are teachers. Aged men are the example. And in verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. You know what the funny thing is? Every youth group in America, I took some notes, I said before, and as a teenager, about serving God and what teenagers need and want, and took some notes. One of the things I wrote down is everybody thinks teenagers want someone really cool and hip like them to be their youth pastor or to be their leader. That's not what they need, and that's not the Bible pattern. They need somebody older. Peers can't teach peers. Okay? Now, everybody wants a peer to teach them. Everybody wants somebody just like them because they relate to them. But if you relate to them, by definition, they're as smart as you and know what you know. Why would I go to my peer to seek how to be a pastor? He's probably right where I am, probably knows what I know. I go to an older man who's already been where I've been, Why would I stand to the person walking down the road with me and saying, what do you think we should do on this road? Why wouldn't I talk to someone who's already been down the road and knows the road? And so older people, and so I love it. I love when people go to a child psychologist to help them with their children and they don't have kids. I love that. What are you doing? I got a family therapist. Really, how many kids do they have? None. And you're going to them to help you with your kids? Well, they got a PhD. So do I, post hole digger. But they don't have kids. It's unbelievable. People, you're going to a person who doesn't have kids to teach you how to raise your kids? Your grandpa might know a little more than you do. Your mom might be able to give you some advice if you turned out halfway decent. Now, maybe not. Some of your parents don't go to. You can't go to somebody else who has kids and turned out well. We see that the older are supposed to teach the younger. And people who know something are supposed to teach those who don't. You don't have trainees teaching trainees in life. Did you catch that? But I relate to them. They don't know what they're doing either, and they understand how confusing this is. Okay, that's not the person to teach you then. You go to, and don't go to your drugged out friends and ask them how to not be drugged out. And don't go to your friends who are bipolar and say, how do I get undepressed? Why do people do that? People do that all the time. Well, they understand me. Okay. You're going to the 400-pound guy and says, how do I lose weight? I understand that. The older people are supposed to teach younger people. They're leaders. By the way, I put more weight on somebody older telling me something than somebody younger. Now, I can have the Bible says that a baby and sucklings is our day in truth. One of the little kids who rode on the bus today can tell me something. If I'm wrong, I'll listen to them and change it. I'll listen to them. However, they don't have the weight. They don't have the weight that an older person does because they've been there. If they be found in the way of righteous. Now, you can be old and as dumb as a post and have no wisdom. But I'm talking about God's way of gaining wisdom. And by the way, you can make up wisdom real fast. You get in a good church, you listen to wise people, you study your Bible a whole bunch, you get Proverbs wisdom to watch and observe, you'll get wise real quick. You give 1 year, you'll gain more knowledge than you gain an entire life before that. 1 year. 1 year once you learn how to learn and where to learn from, you can gain the wisdom. You become a leader. Paul uses authority saying, I'm older now, and you need to listen to me. In the book of Philemon, I don't know, I can help you find that, but it's Philemon, and there's only one chapter there, but Paul uses this, and he uses his age as a reason to listen to him. Philemon chapter 1, verse 9. Yet for love's sakes, I rather beseech thee, so I'm asking you to do something, being such as one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm older now. Please do what I say. I know what I'm talking about. Now, please, I want you to get this because I don't want you to use this wrongly. Don't think that simply age is a reason to listen to you. Listen, some kids shouldn't listen to their parents. And if you haven't earned it by your life being together, then don't use age. Age is assumed you learned something during that time and your life is together. If your life isn't together, then say, I'm older than you, you should listen to me. If you're worse than your kids, don't tell your kids they should listen to you. You haven't earned it. Assumption is with age comes wisdom and overcoming and goodness and conquering. If that isn't true, then age doesn't mean anything. So don't come to me and say, Pastor, you have to obey me because I'm older than you. Not if you're not living wisely. Not if you're not living wisely. But if you read 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, there's a lot of authority. And it says, rebuke not an elder. And you find a lot of authority with age and with position. And you see those things. So wisdom is very important. And age comes along with it. Now, take it back to you become a leader. Next, you have wisdom. Let me take it to Proverbs again and teach you about why we're better because we're older. Here's a good question for you. Ready? How many of you wish you could have counseled yourself when you were 16? Raise your hand. Right now. Okay, that means you learned something. How many of you would have slapped yourself upside the head? See, that means you gained some wisdom. Now, some people know better but haven't changed it. And if you haven't done that, then that's not good. Gain wisdom. That's the assumption here. And that's why I had to raise your hands. Proverbs 1:4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. You get wisdom. The young man doesn't have it. He must gain that. So I wrote the book of Proverbs. And if you're young, you ought to read Proverbs a lot. Proverbs chapter 4. So Proverbs is one of the reasons it's written is to give the young man discretion and knowledge. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, it says, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandment and live. Where are kids supposed to get wisdom from? Parents. Now that's the problem right there. The parents are not two things. One, the parents aren't very wise. Two, the parents aren't teaching what they do know. Okay? They're following the kids. They don't think the kids want to listen. And that's, by the way, my kids don't want to listen. That's because you didn't teach them how to learn. You teach people how to learn and why they need to listen. Your children will hang on what you say. And think, you know, and by the way, if you live a life where they respect you and think, my mom and dad know what they're doing. Do you know my mom wasn't a Christian? However, my mom didn't marry right and all those things. However, when I didn't know anything about money, zero. And I got to a little financial trouble at Bible college because I didn't know anything. You know what I said? I said, you know what? My mom's pretty smart with money. You know my mom bought a house as a single mom? She worked 60 hours a week as a 911 dispatcher. But she bought a house and kept the roof over her head and fed us. As far as I know, I don't think she had hardly any debt except for the house. And I called her. I said, Mom, I don't understand this medical bill. I thought I had insurance, and they keep saying I owe them money. I don't understand it. I was dumb. And you know what? My mom helped me in that area. Now, other areas, I wouldn't seek counsel from her. But she helped me. And you become, you get wise. You learn things. Look at Proverbs 7. You'll see that young men many times, and young people, because they don't have the wisdom and they don't have parents teaching them, they get in trouble. The Solomon's sons didn't have to get in trouble. Proverbs 7:7, he's saying it's something I observed from my window, verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through the casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned a man of use, a man void of understanding. He said, I just looking out my window, I learned something, watching, and a young man put himself in danger and committed adultery. Unfortunately, Solomon, are you ready for this? Oh, I can preach a whole sermon on this. Solomon didn't live the wisdom he knew. And what happened? Solomon's child sought counsel. Who knows their Bible? Who did he seek counsel from? His peers. And the old man said, do this. And he said, I'm going to do what my peers say. And he lost the entire kingdom. Because why did they not follow Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived? Because he looked at his dad and said, my dad didn't do everything. See, it's not just what you know, it's what you live. They respect you enough to say, I want to be like them. And so both those things will matter as you have that. So you gain the wisdom, and the young man didn't have the wisdom, and he saw that. And lastly, what's great about getting older, and why do you have something to look forward to, and why do you not have to say, oh, I'm going to get old someday? That's what society told you. That's not God's thinking. In Acts chapter 2, I got to read this quickly. I got to finish up. It's time to finish. Why? Because you can still do great things for God. You can still be spirit-filled and do great things when you're older. Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I got two more points. But it says your old men will dream dreams. They can do great things. The young men are doing things. The girls are doing things. The ladies are doing things. And the old people are doing great things for God. Listen, you can do great things for God, not yet enough, a lot more wisdom too. And you can do great things for God still. Some of the greatest works ever done were done by old people. John, the book of Revelation, is written by a very elderly man. Moses led millions after 80 years old. Caleb said, I want that mountain at 85. Daniel wrote Daniel chapter 9, 10, 11, and 12, some of the greatest prophecy chapters in the entire Bible, very, very, very elderly. When you're older, yeah, you might be able to run as fast, but you know most life isn't running. And by the way, if you know a shortcut, you can get there before the guy running. And you get some wisdom, and you get that. And lastly, that you can know God like nobody else knows God. And 1 John, and I'm going to get there quickly because we've got to finish up 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And by the way, in youth, in this verse, again, I can't teach on it. In youth, you're supposed to conquer things. Conquer life, conquer yourself, conquer your sins, conquer your finances. And when you're older, you're now living in wisdom with the benefits of what you conquered. Young men, you've overcome the things. Conquer things while you have the strength to do it. It gets a little harder when you get older. And if I were you, if you're under 50 and you have issues and sins, don't think you're going to do it someday. Get on it now while you have the strength to do it. It wears you down. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, and again, I'm not reading the same verse. It repeats this a couple times. Verse 14, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. You've known God. I write unto you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God abideth in you and you have overcome the wicked one. So at an older age, you know God. I mean, you understand God better. You start seeing things from God's eyes as a parent, as a grandparent, as an older person who's watched society, and you learn things. And I was just laughing. I was driving on the road, and I was two guys were just arguing. I was at a phone booth, and they were arguing. And I was sitting at the light watching these guys, and then they got ready to fight, and one of the guys took off his shirt. I don't know why he took off his shirt to fight, but I guess he wanted to look tougher. And these guys started fighting, and I'm watching this thing, and, you know, I'm stuck at the light, and I'm watching these guys fight. And I watch them fight, and they were fighting in the parking lot, and then they started rolling around on the ground and fighting. And they got done and stood up, and this guy's whole back was all bloody from the ground. I was laughing. I said, you know, I learned something today. If I ever get in a fight, don't take off my shirt. I thought, you know, that guy's going to laugh at himself when he's 50 and say, man, I got all these scars all over my back just because I had to take off my shirt because it makes me look tougher. You know, there's so many things that when you're dumb, you're young. When you're young, you're dumb. Now, you don't have to be dumb when you're young. You can be wise. I hope I raise wise kids. By the time they're 18, older people are looking at them and saying, man, you're a smart kid. I wish I was as smart as you were. But there's nothing wrong with being old. A few more aches and pains. A little morphine, you're fine. But you know what? If you have a lot of good benefits to look forward to, look forward to it and learn that you've learned in life how to live and how to be wise and how to be careful and how to handle things. And let's gain that wisdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. I pray we'd have a great service to follow. Bless the time. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.